out what you're doing. And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Yes, he is. Here I am, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Adams, as they say in the book, welcome to the program. And we are on tonight on this Thursday night edition of Uncensored Radio Free America. And we're waiting after the first break to have a guest on who is going to tell us about his own organization, the Lilly Center, and how they have become embroiled in the war, if you will, against the poisoning of our water supply with fluoridation. That's right. And they are calling for, many of these professionals actually are calling for an end to fluoridation worldwide. And the Lilly Center was involved in making a thrust into the belly of the beast, so to speak, the CDC, that continues to promote fluoridation despite the growing evidence of harm and the little evidence of any benefit to fluoride poisoning in our public water supplies. So the Lilly Center, which our guest will represent, announced that it had filed some ethics charges against the Center for Disease Control's Oral Health Division and the CDC's Director Julie Gerberding for their failure to follow the ethical code produced by the CDC and promoted by them around the country. The charge specifically focuses on their failure to warn the public, especially vulnerable subgroups, of the dangers posed by fluoridated water, dangers which were clearly articulated by the NRC in 2006 review of fluoride's toxicity, as well as concerns raised by the United States Department of Agriculture about the total dose of fluoride people are getting today from a variety of sources, including food supplies. According to the complaint, the unethical actions of the Oral Health Division Manager William Moss and CDC Director Julie Gerberding are serious and egregious in not discriminating the findings of the National Research Council that kidney patients, diabetics, infants, and seniors are especially susceptible to harm from fluoride. And our spokesman from the Lilly Center, Dan Stockin, who will be with us, stated that we have provided very specific examples of statements and actions by Dr. Moss and Gerberding that show blatant disregard for the most fundamental principles of ethics in public health. The CDC is striving mightily to defend its policy supporting water fluoridation to prevent cavities. But the facts about harm from fluoride are now coming from highly respected organizations like the National Research Council. And so we will be speaking with Daniel Stockin, like a stocking without the G, hopefully in just a few moments after the break. So we'll do that, and you join us. Get off your blessed assurances. Join the program. With a question or a comment, our numbers are right up there on the site, 800-313-9443. I'm Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097 or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
All righty, we're back now, and we are going to take this time now to introduce my guest here. And he is Dan Stocking, who is the, I believe, the Senior Operations Manager with the Lilly Center in Georgia. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning to you, Dan.
Hello, how are
all
you?
All in one fell swoop.
Thank you.
How are you?
All is well. Yes, I'm looking forward to this. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Are you on a speakerphone?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Yeah, it's fair, but it might be better to get on the phone itself rather than the speaker. Might sound a little closer to me.
How does this sound?
Okay, very good. Anyway, I just introduced, while we were lining you up, I introduced the press release and information about your lawsuit that you have, I believe, with the government concerning Centers for Disease Control and the policy of fluoridating public water supplies. And tell us a little bit, first of all, about the Lilly Center and what you do on this and other public health issues.
Well, sure. We're a very small public health training company. We're in the North Georgia Mountains, and we kind of got involved. We do public health training.
Uh-huh.
But my background is in toxics assessment and hazardous materials management, and got pulled into this issue of water fluoridation sort of sideways. It certainly wasn't anything that was in our business plan at all. And what happened was is my boss, who happens to be a lady in her 70s, had a skin rash that the doctors couldn't get rid of. This is when our firm was based in Tennessee. And she was new to the area, and she's a very intuitive person by nature, and she saw these signs on the side of the road there that said, approved fluoridated water. And since the doctors couldn't get rid of the rash, she came to me, obviously knowing my background in toxics assessment, and she asked me if was it possible that this water that she was drinking and making tea with, showering in, et cetera, could this be causing the skin condition? And so I did what I've done hundreds of times in my career. I just back away from a chemical and analyze how your body metabolizes it and what the target organs are in the body, and did just what I've done throughout my career, working with radioactive materials, biologic agents, and chemicals, is I just backed away from the chemical and looked at it. And what we found just absolutely dumbfounded us. And she called me in and she said, you know, she didn't feel it was morally right after having found out what we found out, that she didn't feel it was morally right that we would try to protect our own families and not care about the people around us. So she said, here's what I want you to do. Start talking to people high, talk to people low. I don't know who you have to speak with, but get it turned off, this fluoride. Mm-hmm. And that started a saga for me 3.5 years ago. I'm just sort of this nerdy science guy. I'm not a politician or anything along those things. But we began to talk to people, and suddenly this thing kind of took on a life of its own, and I began corresponding with people around the world, and people found out what we were doing, and we began to have some successes. So then, a little while ago, we felt that we were supposed to move down here into Georgia, and we wound up here for various reasons, but not having to do with anything with fluoride. But suddenly it dawned on me that I was now in the backyard of the Centers for Disease Control, and I had legal residency status in the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so that's what has brought us to this point, is a formal complaint against the Centers for Disease Control and on water fluoridation policy, and particularly the unethical. We went before their the two joint committees that CDC has on ethics, and presented a formal complaint to them. And it's been an interesting ride since then.
How interesting has it been? I mean, what has been the reaction?
Well, when we were in the room, we found out that turned out that the Centers for Disease Control has actually funded development of a public health ethics policy, a code of ethics, if you will. And they promote it all across the country. They ask county health departments and others, they say, hey, you ought to use this public health code of ethics. Mm-hmm. But we uncovered that the CDC, in their last ethics meeting, some senior people there, et cetera, had actually made the statement in the minutes of their meeting that that very same code was not being translated into the internal practice of the CDC by its own department. And we specifically then took the citations of that principles of ethics, and we showed how the oral health division of CDC and the director of CDC are not following their own code that they developed in their promotion of water fluoridation, and they've been doing some highly, highly serious and egregious, unethical things in terms of what they say and what they do. So we pointed that out, and boy, did it ever go off like a bombshell.
Okay. And what bombshell did you experience now?
Well, what's happened is that it's now rifled around the United States. In that room were a number of ethicists from academic institutions around the United States, because CDC flies them in periodically 2 or 3 times a year to participate in these committees. We found out that apparently the public, it seems that the first ever input from the public to this committee, their agenda had been set by the CDC director most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so here we were, we showed up with this issue with some very, very specific facts, actual documentation of things that were being done. And so now what has happened is as a result of this, ethicists around the country, media people, and attorneys are now calling us. And the pace has quickened dramatically. And it turns out that this idea of filing a formal ethics complaint has actually cracked the door now for legal teams to start considering legal action. Mm-hmm. I've even had some discuss the C word, criminal. Criminal action. So very interesting how it's evolving.
That's very interesting indeed, yeah. And you run a private organization, and I imagine you're not tied in with any particular public interest group or any special interest group, or, that the media cannot say you're part of some, crazy group or nutcake conspiratorial group. And, they go looking for that, and they try to belittle efforts like this. But I assume that you have put your heart and soul into research, and that you have done a lot of this on your own and come to conclusions on your own based on the evidence that you have amassed.
See, we did not have a financial dog in this race.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Right.
In fact, I can tell people up front, I can look them right in the eye. This, if anything, this has cost my boss and myself financially. She mortgaged her house to make this thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just maxed out my credit cards. We don't have sponsors. We don't have people behind us. This is just about doing the right thing. And,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes in life, you're just presented with an opportunity, and you feel that you're supposed to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps it's because of my background in toxics assessment and hazardous materials management that I think some people kind of gnash their teeth at that, because you can't blow smoke up my skirt about chemicals. And so... Because of this, we've had some successes, and we really sense, honestly, that there's a divine power helping us in this whole thing, because
mm-hmm.
doors keep flying open,
yes.
and the information just starts moving forward. So we're not kooks. We're just regular people. We believe that the truth, the whole truth, ought to be told about a thing, even if it's a little inconvenient, in fact, a lot inconvenient. And because of the sheer amount of health damage that's being done, and I can give you some citations about that, some examples.
Sure.
Very, very sobering information. If you know anyone that has kidney disease or is on dialysis,
mm-hmm.
or a person who has hypothyroidism,
mm-hmm.
People who have joint pain, there's a number of disease categories now that are being tied to fluoride ingestion. And
mm-hmm.
This is not some theoretical exercise. This is people's lives that are being affected. And
mm-hmm.
so that's what sort of keeps motivating us to
mm-hmm.
move forward.
Years ago, many years ago, in the early 70s, when I was in college, I gave some addresses, and I entered the persuasive speaking contest at the college. And I had two particular topics, one each year, and I won first place prize in each of the years. Well, in one of those contests, I entered the speech Fluoridation and Truth Decay. And even then, as you probably know, in the 70s, there was a great deal of controversy about fluoridation of public water supplies, and certainly a great deal of medical information that was available even then to organizations, government, medical societies, and so forth, if they wanted to do the honest research and follow up on it. But I understood there were big bucks involved, big dollars, and the various lobbies that were involved in using fluoridation of the water supply to get what they wanted. So I didn't expect any action, but I did win the first place prize, and I think that reasonable people, when they hear the evidence and they hear the story, and come to their own conclusions. If they want to die and they want to be ill and sick, I suppose they would not want to do anything about it. But if, in fact, like most people, they want to live and they want to be healthy and their children and families to be healthy, they want to do something about it. So obviously that's what needs to be done. And you may be, as you point out, with a little divine intervention here, you may be really on the threshold of a real breaking situation. So this is very interesting.
It's definitely breaking as we speak. It's sort of like having insider information where you know that something's about to happen. Well,
mm-hmm.
We have uncovered certain actions, and we've uncovered certain very specific statements which are now highly documentable, and I think that's what's the real problem, this hot potato, this ethics complaint. CDC, they were kind of stunned in the room when they heard this. And actually, some of the people in the room had the temerity to say, well, wait a minute, why are you bringing this up to us? It's not on our agenda.
Yeah.
And So,
all right, stay where you are. We got the music breaking. We'll be back in 3 minutes right here on Uncensored Radio Free America. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, with my guest Dan. We'll be back in just 3 minutes.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Rick Adams is back. Live, uncensored, Radio Free America continues on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we're back now. My guest is Dan Stockin from the Lilly Center in Georgia. And, Dan, you're way up there in the boondocks, I guess, right?
We're up in the Blue Ridge Mountains, yes.
Yes. Oh, boy. Beautiful area to be in. And you now have filed this formal complaint charging the CDC Oral Health Division with ethics violations. And now, how far do you expect this to go, these complaints through these channels? Do you think this will manage to get some serious results?
Well, what we found out is that some people who have heard about this have begun to send letters to some key people within CDC mm-hmm. to basically say, we've read the complaint, we've heard about it, and we're watching to see how you handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of exciting. And there's been some very heavyweight people from around the United States and even across the globe who've contacted the ethics officer, the chief science officer, the chief of public health practice, and the CDC director, et cetera, and the oral health division to let them know that this is happening and that they're watching. And some of the comments are just astounding. You know, people to have the backup of people saying, you know, you're an ethics committee, do the ethical thing and apply your ethics code to this case. Don't try to, you know, sweep it under the rug. We have had, I spoke to the ethics coordinator at the CDC, and she told me that they're thinking that they're going to sort of shunt this over into what they call an information quality review process.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, what I told them was, well, wait a minute, what's the point of having an ethics committee with outside input if you're going to investigate a complaint about internal practices by people who were supervised by the very people who the complaint is against? In other words, it doesn't make a lot of sense that there's objectivity if you shunt it elsewhere. So what has happened is attorneys are now standing up and noticing and looking at various legal aspects to this. You know, there are various legal mechanisms to bring both civil and criminal charges to bear. So that's a kind of an exciting thing. But the very specifics of it is so devastating because there was a report last year from the National Research Council. I don't know, Rick, if you've heard of that report, that once every 10 years or so, the federal government is required by law to sort of reassess fluoride and look at it.
Yes,
last year's report was over 500 pages. It took 3 years to come out. And this report has some absolutely devastating quotes in it. And what has happened is that the CDC and, of course, the American Dental Association and others have elected to not talk about the parts of this report that they don't want to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And there's a statement in there that I think your listeners would find very fascinating. A whole lot of research is called for. They say, you know, they finally admitted we don't know very much about fluoride. We know some, but there's a whole bunch of areas we don't have data. And there's this statement that I'll read you. It's just one thing. It's just 10 words long. It says, more research is needed to clarify fluoride's biochemical effects on the brain. Mm-hmm. That is a mind-boggling statement. In other words, people say to me, wait a minute, you mean we fluoridate and we don't know what it does to the human brain? There are statements like that about kidney issues and bone disorders, et cetera, and effect on intellect throughout the thing. That are very, very, very sobering. So what we did in our complaint is we said, how is it that the head of CDC and the Oral Health Division can state that there is more than 60 years of research showing fluoridation to be safe when this report lists enormous quantities of research needed, much of which is very fundamental in nature? So obviously there's a problem there. How can you say it's safe and there's research? They also say that it's safe for all. But yet, in the report, it lists diabetics, kidney patients, seniors, infants, outdoor workers, and athletes as groups that are called susceptible populations.
Mm-hmm.
Very,
well,
very sobering.
That's, Dr. Wynn Parker, who's been with us in RVN, of course, has done his research into fluoridation, chloramine, and all of that, the additives that are put into the water supply. And, you know, they will admit, the public officials, yeah, and we're willing to accept, a death rate. In effect, we're willing to accept casualties, but we're going to do the public the greater good. You know, this is this collectivistic approach to public health issues that we know what's best for the public, and we're going to do it. And if there's a few few corpses along the way, well, that's unfortunate, but that's just too bad. This is the attitude that needs to be addressed here, and I think you're beginning to address it with the press release, and people can go right to the site, I believe, and get the full text of the ethics complaint, as a matter of fact, if they wish to, right?
Yes, absolutely. There's a website called fluoridealert.org.
Yes.
And if you scroll down about 5 or 6 inches there, you'll see the actual heading that talks about the ethics complaint, and then there's two links, one that'll take you to the press release that was issued about it, and then the actual text of the complaint. And we encourage people to share the actual complaint because it's very specific. There's really no wiggle room to deny this information there.
Right.
And I think that's what's sort of frustrating the CDC at the moment.
Last year, as you point out, the report that was forthcoming, I remember reading in the papers, and it was published. It wasn't obviously followed up by much of the media, but it was reported that we had been lied to, essentially, and Harvard University was involved in it, and the effect on young teenage boys, particularly, who had been drinking fluoridated water. So when we come back, I want to get into some of that and some of the questions about the health impact and We'll put the number out if anyone has a question, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back with Dan Stockin.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
Okay, I'm back. Rick Adams is back with Dan Stockin of the Lilly Center. And, Dan, you know, the effects of fluoridation of the public water supply, as you point out now, have very serious health risks. And I remember in that speech that I gave, we talked about cancer as one of the effects of fluoride and fluoridation of the water. And I'm sure that you have seen some of the facts concerning the death rate from cancer, as you know, increasing dramatically in the United States. And one of those contributing factors, it would appear, is the fluoridation of public water supplies. In those areas where the water supplies are fluoridated, the cancer death rate has, I've noticed, has been much higher than in non-fluoridated water areas. Do you find that to be the case?
Well, the issue with cancer is an interesting one. The strongest link that we have with cancer related to fluoride is osteosarcoma.
It's
very often fatal bone cancer, and it's typically linked with the males, young males.
Yes.
And it really, that's the one where a lady who had done her doctoral thesis, her dissertation showed a 500 to 700% increase in osteosarcoma in young males.
Right.
Who drink fluoridated water between the ages of around 6 to 8 compared to those who do not.
And that was the study that I referred to that was published in the media last year.
Right, and the story behind it was almost even more fascinating. I mean, it's very disturbing, but how that dissertation was, for some strange, inexplicable reason, strangely hidden inside the rare books library, the rare books section of the Harvard Library, for 4 years, and suddenly it just surfaced when 4 years after her doctorate degree had been awarded, suddenly it came to light, and it turns out that the gentleman who was supervising her, that was disputing all this, turned out to be the editor of one of Colgate's newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
So Colgate, fluoridated toothpaste manufacturer, Colgate.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
This whole idea of why was it that this really groundbreaking work, very exhaustive, tremendous epidemiology, why was that hidden away inside this rare book section of the library for 4 years?
Exactly.
It's a disturbing story, very much so. And it's the basis of the cancer risk that has, for that reason, that 11 unions within EPA, representing 7,000 lab workers and scientists and others, have called for the immediate halt to water fluoridation in the United States based on the cancer risk.
That's true, and yet we haven't seen very much about that in most of the media. At least I haven't. Have you?
No, there was a spate of interest at the beginning, but I think the attitude is at the CDC, just sort of ride it out and wait till the public loses interest.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically been the process here. But what we've done, what we're excited to see, there's a lot of things happening on numerous fronts. Ours is not by any means the only thing happening. There's a recent petition signed by 600 professionals that was calling for an end to fluoridation, et cetera. But
right.
Now, by having this thing basically coming from the inside of CDC, this complaint that's now internal to CDC, not a lawsuit, it's actually a complaint that we presented with them. So now what they have to do is they have to decide, will we apply our own ethics code to this and do a visible ethics investigation of it? But what's encouraging to me is that I really strongly believe they're going to have to, because of the sheer interest in the legal and the growing amount of interest in the media. So.
Well, that may be the case. To me, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, as you know, what it may very well take is some attorneys engaging in criminal activity, that is, in trying to make a criminal case here, not just a civil case. And that certainly, if that comes to fruition, Dan, that is going to make all the difference in the world, because, as you know, that is where the action is evident and where the rubber meets the road, really,
as far as taking criminal action. And you get more media from that, too, once the legal case
obviously,
happens.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, do you envision that being, is that going full course now with what you say in your press release, or is that something that's going to really be put to the back of the burner for a while until all of these other investigations and so forth and so on have run their gamut?
What do you mean? Which
the criminal charges, do you think, that could be brought?
Oh, well, the criminal charges and the legal cases, We are in discussions with folks around the country, and some of this I have to kind of keep sort of quiet.
Sure.
I don't want to leak certain things out yet.
Right.
But
right.
There are a number of other entities besides CDC that bear liability related to this, but they are associated with CDC. And you know, one of the issues, of course, is when people understand that either I tell the truth and maybe avoid some legal repercussions, that's one of the things where the rats begin to turn on each other, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we see as, and in our complaint, we actually stated that people within the oral health division who are of good conscience should be aware that if they would like to come forward, that there is some protections offered to them by the U.S. Office of Special Counsel and the Whistleblower Protection Act. So there's several agencies within the federal government that are going to be pulled into this, within the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the National Institutes of Health, and the Centers for Disease Control and EPA. It's going to be quite an interesting experience as they all basically decide, okay, do I want to go down with this one, or would I rather just tell what I know and let somebody else take the hit?
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually had some, you know, we've encountered some resistance considerably from people on this, and I had
let's face it, there are some pretty big toes that could be stepped on here.
Yes, there are, and there's money involved. People call us up, and they tell us things. And we're learning the darndest things about some things that people did and have done and where there's some records about this and that. So I expect that there's going to be people coming forward. We already know of some information, but we think people are going to be beginning to publicly recognize that kind of do what the Dental Association did last November, where they quietly changed their policy on infant milk formula.
Yeah, I was reading that. I was just reading that now, and very surreptitiously made the position that, as far as younger people, they should definitely not be mixing powdered infant milk formula. They should be using unfluoridated water in those cases. So they're trying to give a little word of caution there, but it's a very sneaky thing because of the way that it's been done, in a very underhanded manner.
That's part of the ethics thing.
That's exactly the problem with the ethics complaint. Sure, that's the problem with the ethics, or lack thereof.
An example, for instance, where they were to say there's a disease called skeletal fluorosis.
Right.
And you're probably, I don't know if you're familiar with skeletal fluorosis, but it's...
Yeah, well, I know about the fluorosis part, but you can continue.
Well, this fluoride deposits in your bones and joints over the years as you ingest fluoride.
Right, right.
And if your kidneys work well, around 45% of it stays in your body over your lifetime, ever since you've been born, about 45% or so of it is still somewhere in your body. But if your kidneys don't work well, then you retain even more of it, but... What they, for instance, there are statements going around by the proponents that say, well, only a handful of cases of skeletal fluorosis have ever been diagnosed. But what they don't say, that no one's looking for it,
mm-hmm.
that people don't regularly look in the blood and urine of folks who present to their doctors with joint pain or stiffness for fluoride level. And so to be able to say, well, there's only ever been a handful of cases diagnosed, and then to leave out the fact that no one's looking to make the diagnoses, is just an absolutely stunning, and we think very obvious to a court of law jury, that that's obviously, a wrong thing to do. And I'll give you another example, very disturbing, is on the CDC's website, they use a statement that talks about that the amount of fluoride in water is so tiny, one part per million, it's the equivalent of 1 cent in $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing there is they're confusing Americans with the concept of concentration in water versus dose received.
Mm-hmm.
That 1 cent in the 10,000 keeps adding up in your body. So, yes.
Well, that's what I remember reading that when I was speaking on a cumulative effect, sure.
Well, that's the issue here, is that most of the public health discussions have been about preventing acute poisoning, like a child swallowing a whole tube of toothpaste because it's
exactly.
But
that's not where the issue lies, really. It's in the cumulative effect as the aging process goes on.
That's it. And the Department of Agriculture has actually been so concerned about that issue that a couple of years ago, they finalized development of some software that allows you to go to Joe Citizen on the street and say, okay, tell me everything you ate and drank yesterday, the quantity, the brand names, everything. And they punch it in the computer, take a sample of your house drinking water, and it spits out a number of milligrams of fluoride that you ingested yesterday. They said they're doing this because we need to look into the issue of skeletal fluorosis. You would think that would have been headline news.
Mm-hmm.
But and the CDC, you would think, would be talking about that, but they're not. So another example of unethical action by them.
Yes, and unfortunately, the media, too, have a great degree of control for many of these big corporations that have a vested interest. You also dealt with the fact that certain ethnic groups apparently have the dental fluorosis, staining and pitting of teeth indicative of overexposure to fluoride that is disproportionately present in African-Americans and perhaps Mexican-Americans compared to Caucasians. Is that true?
Yes, and you know what's so damning about that is that that is CDC's own data.
Yeah.
They issued a paper back in 2005.
Right.
The very last chart shows this information that's in this humongous report, and the very last one shows that African Americans have a disproportionate amount of dental fluorosis compared to Caucasians, and it looks like even Mexican Americans. Mm-hmm. So we asked the question, how come, since the African American community also has higher amounts of diabetes, also has higher amounts of kidney disease, and so all these intersecting risks, how come the CDC has not provided and shown pictures, et cetera, and reached out to the African American community about dental fluorosis or, you know, all these other issues?
Mm-hmm.
And what we found was a very interesting thing, that even minority health officers who are themselves either African American or various ethnic groups will not talk about this issue, as what happened in the state of Tennessee, where the minority health officer, we met with her, and she actually refused to physically answer any more questions or meet with us after that issue, when we said to her, don't you think it would be just a fair thing to do to tell the folks that you represent of the downside of fluoride, as well as the fact that it might prevent some cavities? She didn't want to show the pictures of dental fluorosis to the black community.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very disturbing.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen those pictures, and they're not very pretty, obviously. It's so propitious that I do this interview with you today, because yesterday, I guess it was, that I heard from a friend I hadn't heard from in a long time, and he reported to me that, you know, he had gone to the doctor. He had a kidney stone, and then after examination and x-rays, found out that in one kidney, the one kidney he has the stone, but in the other kidney he also has a cancerous tumor that is even bigger than the kidney. And now it has entered into the first stage, into the first lymph nodule. So that is something that catches my ear now. And we are, you know, hearing more and more about these things, and we have to wonder exactly where the source is on these, and whether it was certainly drinking a lot of fluoridated water, the fluoridation in the products, and that combined with other things, the chloramine and other, disinfectants and so forth, having this cumulative effect, as well as the foods, the air, all of these things having an effect. And we know that cancer rates, you know, have climbed dramatically in the last few years, to the point where I think it's like 1 out of 2.5 or 1.3 will have cancer in their lifetimes in America. And never was that heavy, that high. So it's just, disturbing news for me personally and for others to note this. And, people who do have diabetes and do have other problems, and the kidneys maybe are under duress, this only adds to their concerns. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. You
I was
going to
share something about kidneys that I find very disturbing. And that is, I don't know if you have any friends that are who are on dialysis, but I've had some people very close to me
have to deal with the lifestyle
of dialysis.
Sure.
And the issue, of course, is that most people are not aware, even those on dialysis, that they filter out the fluoride with triple redundant filters at the dialysis machine.
Mm-hmm.
They want to take a lot of things out of water, fluoride, which is one of those things. And the reason they take it out is because if you don't take the fluoride out of the dialysate water, then people die on the machine from fluoride poisoning, or they at least get fluoride poisoned.
Mm.
And that actually is one of the ways that we find out there have been overfeeds of fluoride at water plants, is that periodically, unfortunately, the overfeed of fluoride overcomes the filters at dialysis plants, and people either die or become fluoride poisoned. And so the interesting and disturbing fact is that a person will sit there on dialysis and they will take the fluoride out of the water, but then the person is sent home and essentially told to drink as much fluoride-containing water as they please in an unmonitored, unmeasured fashion. Mm-hmm. So that just, to me, you know, turnip greens and cornbread common sense, that doesn't make it for me. And The issue about kidney patients, those with chronic kidney disease, there's a lot of statements in the National Research Council report that should be read by caregivers and people with kidney ailments. And to me, that is highly, highly unethical. And this is not just about some theoretical thing. There are people out there who were borderline needing dialysis but had managed to avoid it, that were kicked over into needing dialysis by overexposure to fluoride.
That is very alarming and disturbing, to say the least. Oh, my goodness. All right. And now, people who want to get in touch with you and your organization can call you, and they can also email you, right?
Yes, that's correct. And I'll be glad to give those. I can
give those numbers and info out.
Sure. Since the complaint, I've been swamped under by email, so I'm going to actually give you a different
okay.
email. But,
all right.
Because I just need this to handle the volume. The
Absolutely.
Email address is...
Absolutely.
Is
all right, hang on to that note, because we got a quick break, all right?
Okay.
We'll do that, and we'll have you give us all the information when we return with our guest, Dan Stockin. And Daniel Stockin, of course, represents the Lilly Center in Georgia. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
back now, and Daniel Stockin of the Lilly Center is with me to round out this segment. And, Dan, give us the phone number, if you wish, and also the separate email where people might be able to contact you for more information.
Sure. Let me give you the phone number first.
Yes.
The phone number is 706.
Right.
669.
Mm-hmm.
That's 0786. 706-669-0786. And the email that I'm using now in order to handle this, it's stockin2@yahoo.com. And that's spelled S-T-O-C-K-I-N, and then the number 2, stockin2@yahoo.com.
Yes.
And I'd also just like to mention that if someone would like to see the actual complaint, they can go to the website fluoridealert.org.
Mm-hmm.
And fluoride is spelled F-L-U-O-R, fluoridealert.org, and just scroll down about 5 or 6 inches, and you'll see the information about the complaint. You can download it.
Right. I have the whole website with the CDC ethics complaint, all of that right there published, and it's quite lengthy, and it is very important that people read it if they are able to, get through it, and distribute it. I think it should be distributed now to as many organizations, private and public, that are interested in health, don't you?
Yes, we're actually asking folks to, you know, the actual complaint is actually only 4.5 pages. The rest of it's just documentation.
Yeah, well, that's,
you know,
that's the meat of the issue, though, right?
Yes, and so, you know, don't let the size of it, if you can just get through the first 3.5 or 4 pages, it's very, very self-explanatory. But we are asking folks if they, we are working, and we've had some success now, it's starting to build on getting more media as well as legal folks interested in this, as well as basically people who have connections inside the federal government or in dental organizations, et cetera, because this really what this is all about is just simply bringing things to the light that need to be brought to the light. And so we've had some pretty serendipitous things occur where people call us up and say, did you know this person or that person that happens to live in the backyard of CDC in Atlanta, or do you know someone who's and they know someone who's involved in a group that's disproportionately harmed, for instance, a person in the African-American community who has some connections over and clout amongst certain city organizations, or people who in the kidney dialysis community, or people who in the diabetes community. There's so many diabetics in our country today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things is that you drink a lot of water when you have an increased thirst.
That's it.
If you have diabetes insipidus or mellitus, and I'm trying to pronouncing it right there, the issue is that diabetics, because of the sheer quantity of people and the severity of the quality of life that you lose through some of these diseases, we just feel it's morally right. And if you know anyone that has HIV, what is so disturbing to me is what the report, the National Research Council report, acknowledges about the whole issue with people who have compromised immune systems.
Yes, yes.
So I think that we're asking folks who have connections and are interested in the HIV community to help us get this word out also.
Right, and we'll see what we can do. We'll put it on our website here at Republic and get more information, and we'll be in touch with you again for an update. How's that?
That would be wonderful.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your efforts, for your work on our behalf, and may you indeed be protected by divine providence.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
efforts.
That.
Amen. Thank you very much, Daniel. All right.
Okay.
Good night now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it. You heard it here first, right here on RBN, and now we're beginning to see some action on the fluoridation front. The Fluoride Action Network is also something you can go right to, www.fluorideaction.net. We'll be back, and I'll mention that again, that web address, his address, and, of course, the phone number for the Lilly Center. I'm Rick Adams. Much more to come, open forum to come in the next hour. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio. Join me.